Good morning. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Acts in the 10th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment of time, in the book of Acts in the 10th chapter. Good to see each of you out this morning, and I appreciate so much the elders and their decision and the things they're trying to do to keep everyone healthy and to keep where we can worship God. And you can tell they're very conscientious, and we appreciate them praying and thinking about these things. And what we're just trying to say is, if you feel that you have a compromised immune system or that you're at a high risk, we want you to be careful and want you to think about those things. And yet at the same time, we don't want to discourage anyone. So we're trying to work, and I appreciate them making the decisions they've made and trying to keep everybody healthy. And one thing that we can all do is remember to pray and to remember to go before our Father. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've never put Christ on in baptism, all things have been made ready this morning where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be immersed for your remission of sins, as is taught in Acts 2 and verse 38. In your Bible, in the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at about verse 9, and we'll read down through about verse 16. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, and a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. You know, when you look at the Apostle Peter, you find a man who's very zealous for the cause of Christ, and yet at the same time, you find that he will make objection to the Lord when he ought not. You remember in the book of Matthew and the 16th chapter, after he had confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, remember that Jesus began to tell that he would have to go to the cross and die, that he would be mistreated and he would be nailed to the tree. And Peter began to dispute that with the Lord and say, "This will not happen to you." And you remember that the Lord, "Get behind me, Satan." At that time, Peter was a tool in the hands of the devil, and he did not understand the purpose of Jesus' coming. Then you can turn to the Gospel of Luke and the 22nd chapter, and you'll find in Luke 22, in about verse 33, if memory serves me correctly, where Jesus is telling again that that night all his disciples will forsake him and betray him and leave him. And Peter said, "Not me, Lord." He said, "Even if I have to go to prison or unto death, I'll never forsake thee." And you remember the Lord said, "You will deny me three times." He said, "You will deny me three times." And he said, "Before the rooster crows." And so I recognize that Peter, on occasion, took exception with what the Lord said, and Peter was wrong. But when you come to the book of Acts and the 10th chapter, you'll find what you might find is a very outrageous statement. If you look in your Bible, and if you underscore the phrase, in Acts chapter 10, in particular verse 14, notice that Peter says a phrase, "Not so, Lord." Now, if you have a piece of paper, you might just want to write that phrase out. "Not so, Lord." Because I want you to stop and to consider that that is a statement that is sort of absurd. Because here is a man who is claiming that Jesus is his master, that Jesus is his Lord, that Jesus is his King, and that he will submit to his authority. Then when Jesus tells him to do something, that the food that at one time was a restriction to the Jews is no longer a dietary restriction, but what God has cleansed, now the Jews can eat just as the Gentiles. Peter said, "Not so." He said, "I won't eat that." And notice this occurs three times. There's something about Peter in the number three, isn't there? And if you take note at this time, that the Lord is saying, "Do not call unclean what God has cleansed." But if you take your Bible and look at verse 14 carefully, that's where we're going to spend the majority of our time, because Peter either has to mark out the statement, not so, and say that Jesus is Lord, He is Master, He is King, or he has to mark out Lord and say not so. Because no servant has the right to look to their Lord, to their Master, to their King, and to argue with Him. No servant has the right to look to the one they submit to and say, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. And as servants of the King, children of the King, as people of God, we cannot look up and say, He's my Lord, and then argue with Him when He tells us to do something. Either we say He is Lord, or we say not so. You know, there are a lot of people this morning all around Athens, Alabama, just as they are in Nashville, Tennessee, that when you talk about baptism, you will hear them say that that's not so. That they don't have to be baptized for the remission of sins. You'll find that many will say you have to repent. You'll find many will say you need to confess. But when it comes to baptism, they say that is just something optional. But I want you to read with me in the book of Mark and the 16th chapter from the words of my Lord in verse 16. When Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice that comes from the mouth of my Savior. He is the Lord, and in Matthew 28:18 it says, all authority has been given to Him. So when someone says not so, they're not arguing with the church, they're not arguing with you, they're arguing with the Lord, because that is a direct command for one to receive remission of sin. And yet so many people will find an excuse not to be immersed into Christ. They'll argue with God, and instead of saying He's my Lord, they say not so. Oh, they'll say that they call Him Lord. They'll say that He is their Christ. They'll say He is their King. And yet they argue when He gives a direct command. And so this morning, when you think about if you ever put on Christ, my question to you is, are you going to do what you want to do and say not so to God? Or will you submit to the authority of the King and say, He's my Lord? And I'll tell you, my friend, that would solve a lot of problems with people if we would learn that Jesus is the Lord, He is the King, and we submit to His divine authority. But then think about a second thing, if you will, for just a moment. If you choose not to obey the gospel, that God leaves that up to you. Have you ever thought that God has given man the opportunity to decide whether he'll say not so or if he will be obedient to the gospel? Now, the consequence is not left up to you, but whether you obey or whether you disobey is left up to you. Either you say He is your Lord and you will obey, or you will claim He's not your Lord and you will disobey. But you will either tell Jesus not so and be disobedient, or you will say, He is my Lord, and obey Him. But think about a second thing, if you will, kindly, in the book of Ephesians and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter, have you ever stopped to think that God gives us a pattern of how to worship? So often we find people adding to God's Word to worship in a way He never authorized, and to worship with any addition is to deny the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to say, not so, Master, we know better than you. Now you take this morning, someone may say it, O'Neill, we noticed you don't have instrumental music. And perhaps they think that we can't afford it. I'll assure you that's not the case. And someone else may say, well, you don't have anyone who can play it. That's not the case. Buzz Lovell could probably play the whole band. But I'll tell you what the problem is, my friend, is when people start adding to the local church and adding what God has not authorized, what they're doing is looking up in defiance to God and say, we know how to draw a crowd, and we know better how to worship you than you've authorized. Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter again, and notice what we notice that the Apostle Paul had to say when he writes to the church at Ephesus. And notice, in a very clear manner, he gives divine word of God in verse 19. He said, you speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I want to raise a question to you this morning. Where are we to make melody at? In our heart. God is interested in the heart of man. So as Brother Wilson led us in those songs, we were thinking about God. We were praising God. It was coming from our heart. That's what God wants. Now someone may say, but preacher, I like instrumental music. I think it adds something to it. That's right, my friend. It adds something. It adds to God's Word. And we have no authority to add where God has not authorized. And I'll tell you, some people have come to me and said, preacher, the New Testament doesn't say not to have it. Well, my friend, I'm not obligated to show you where the New Testament says not to have it. If you use it, you're obligated to show me where the New Testament says to have it. Someone may say, well, David played the harp. Well, that's one thing, my friend. David was under the Old Covenant. David was under the Mosaic dispensation. And I've noticed a lot of people want to go back to that dispensation and pick and choose what they want to bring over. They never want to bring over animal sacrifices. They never want to bring over stoning one another again. They just want to pick and choose. We're not under that covenant. We're under the covenant of Christ, and we have no authority to go beyond what is written. We need to either say Jesus is Lord, or we say not so, Lord. Now, my friend, that's a very important question. We need to have acceptable worship just as God has commanded to man, as God has instructed man. And when we question God, or we add or take away from what God has instructed, we make ourselves Lord and defy God. We say, not so. Now, we may call Him Lord, but I'll tell you, my friend, we're not acting as though He's Lord. And you know the same can be said when it comes to institutionalism or when it comes to adding gymnasiums or anything under the living sun. If you show me the pattern in the New Testament, that's one thing. But if you can't put your finger on the passage and show me something, then what we're doing is we're adding and we're telling the Lord, we know how to get people in. It's not a matter of getting people in. It's a matter of using the gospel to convert them to Christ. If we convert them with carnal means, my friend, we're not converting them with the truth. And it's the gospel that has the power, as Brother Guy brought out in Bible class in the auditorium. It's the gospel that saves the souls of man. Oh, I would I could get that into the hearts of men and women today. I would that our young men and young ladies would understand that we have to have Bible authority for what we do. That it's not trying to just be someone out here that is trying to be different than everyone else. We're trying to be different because Christ has told us to be different. We're trying to follow His pattern. We are different, all right, but it's because we are children of God. But that brings up something else. As Brother Collins read just a moment ago, we're to be different in regard to morality. And yet so many people say not so. In 1 Corinthians 6, as was read in verses 9 through 11, you remember Paul gave a list, or you could read Romans 1, he gives a list. Galatians 5, he talks about the flesh and the works thereof. And you know what happens many times? People believe that they can live any way they want and God will still save them. But God has specified how we're to live to please Him. And when we ignore what God says, we're saying, not so, Lord. We're marking out Lord and we're putting down our name there. Now you know, there are some religious groups that even today, they're splitting over whether or not to accept homosexuality. But what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 6, 9? Do not be deceived. And in that list is homosexuals. And on that list is adulterers and drunkards and extortioners. It doesn't matter what the sin is, my friend. You can say culture justifies it and culture says it's okay, but culture's not the judge. My God will judge us in that day. And what we need to remember is that we are to call Him Lord. He is the master. And if we're going to say He's the king, we have to put our preferences aside and bow down to His will. Oh, I pray that in the days to come that O'Neill always remembers that the church belongs to Christ. He died for it. He paid for it with His blood. We are the redeemed because of His purchase, and we therefore submit to His authority. It's not the church of Mike Richardson. And it's not the church of any other man. It's the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And God pity the day that we leave the following the pattern and we do what we want to do instead of what God has told us to do. But I want you to bring up something else. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 2. And when you come to 1 John chapter 2, notice that at this time, John is writing. And notice what John has to say in regard to love. In 1 John chapter 2, beginning at verse 9, he says, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes." You know, throughout Scripture, we are instructed to love one another. We're to love God first, and then we're to put others before ourselves. And so often we say, not so. We love ourselves first over everyone and anyone and anything else. And to do so is to say that the Lord is wrong. You know what's happened in a lot of congregations? There's not the love that needs to be there. There's not the love for our brothers and sisters. Sometimes if we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in our own lives, we miss seeing the needs of others. I want to take that. I want to make three or four points in the lesson's yours. I want to ask the question to you this morning. If you'd wrote down the phrase, "not so," and you wrote down the word "Lord," which would you strike through? Which would you mark out? Do you believe Jesus and follow His will, or do you question His authority? Do you believe that you know better than God? So many religious groups say they know better than God. By not heeding His divine revelation, they are saying "not so" and crossing out "Lord." Oh, let that never be said of the O'Neill congregation. Secondly, either Jesus is Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. We must submit to the King on all things, or we are guilty of picking and choosing what commands we do want to obey and what we want to ignore. As servants, you don't have that choice. We submit to the King. And can you tell me any commandment that God has given us, is that not for our own good? John said His commandments are not burdensome. Everything He's given is for our good. Just as a parent gives rules to their children for their good, God has looked down at His creation and He said, "These things I will not tolerate, and these are things you need to be doing." But thirdly, there will be a lot of people who will be lost and will be made up of hell because they said, "not so." Those who dictate to the Lord what they will or will not do are going to be lost. But those who submit to the King and say, "Lord, You speak and I'll obey," they'll make up the redeemed of all time. Open your Bible to two passages as we close. Open, if you will, and notice what He says in the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, notice, if you will, verse 21. And this is very similar to what has already been taught. Notice Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord.'" Now they called Him Lord. You think that's enough? He says, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven." It's not enough to say He's my Lord, then disobey His word. Now they were prophesying in His name, were preaching in His name. They were casting out demons in His name and doing many wonders in His name, but they were not obeying the will of the Father. And notice what He says to them in verse 23, "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness." What is lawlessness? Sin. You remember John said that. Sin is lawlessness. And Jesus said, if you practice lawlessness, you practice sin, I'm going to say, depart from Me. You've not submitted to Me. You called Me Lord, but you didn't act like I was Lord. But then as we close, look in the Philippian letter in the 2nd chapter. And in the Philippian letter in the 2nd chapter, I want to tell you something in all kindness and yet all candor. When you begin reading at verse 5, Paul is talking about the humbled and exalted Christ. And he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation." Now watch it. "Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became," look at this, obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, if Jesus humbled Himself and submitted to the authority of the Father, who are you and I to neglect the authority of the King? Now, Jesus has been given all authority. He died and raised and at the right hand of God. It's His kingdom. He's the King. He has all authority. And we need to humble ourselves. But don't forget verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, underscore Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I can't say not so, Lord. A lot of people in this life are going to say not so. But I want to tell you, my friend, in the day of judgment, you may never bow this side of eternity. You may never confess. But in the day of judgment, you will. Because it says, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. So why don't we put aside anything that keeps us from being subject to the King? Why don't we go back to just saying, Lord, You speak and I'll obey? Why don't we go back to saying, I'll submit to what the King tells me to do? Let's not say to our Lord, not so. But let us say to our Lord, You speak, and I'll obey. If you're here and you need to be baptized, our prayer is you won't say not so another day, but that you will respond to the gospel, that you'll be immersed this very morning so that you can be a child of the King. As together we stand and sing, cordially invite.